Welcome back, everybody, to the Overdunk Podcast, your favorite competitive Pokemon Unite podcast. My name is Lynx, joined, as always, by Bridget, and we got a really fun one for you today. I say that before every single episode, and this time I mean it. That's both a warning and a threat, everybody. It's going to be a great one. We got a patch added to the game, probably, most likely, our last patch before the World Championships. So this is the game state we're going to be playing on, as well as the World's Groups announcement. Have been put out. So no emergency overdunk this time around, but we did want to talk about the groups. A little bit of scheduling, like back of house stuff. And I don't even know if I've talked to Bridget about this. So heads up. I think next week's episode will be our full on world preview episode. So that'll be like, it'll include all kinds of predictions, like as a podcast, both for group stage and like your classic winners, most picked Pokemon, et cetera, et cetera. Those things will all be happening. We'll probably try to get on some guests, maybe some other commentators who will be working the World Championships like we have in the past. It'll be really fun. And then the next week after that will be like the week of the World Championships. The plan at the moment is to still do an episode, but it'll be a little more fun spirited. And I have a kind of an insane plan, and if it works, it'll be great. For those of you who like fantasy football, I would say tune in to the special episode the week of Worlds. I think Bridget, me, and maybe a friend or two might draft a fantasy team for the World Championship. We'll see. I don't know. I got to get some things figured out in the back end if it happens. But we are planning to do episodes, obviously, this week since we're live, and then the next week and the following. So a lot of overdone content coming at you fast. But anyway, housekeeping out of the way. Bridget, how have you been this last week?
Good. I was sharing that I finally got to Masters in the pre-show. Shout out Alcremie and Galarian Rapidash, my goats right now. I've been trying to play Suicune again. I feel like I'm maybe not the best at piloting it, but we're working on it.
Okay. Let's go. All right. Glad that we both have a broken Pokemon that we should be getting more wins with, but we're not. Yours is Suicune, mine's Ho-Oh. Because I truly do think that Pokemon is Giga Busted, and I have had such a tough time getting W's with it. So at least we both have a Pokemon that we're aligning up with.
Yeah, I played Suicune a bit, like, when it first came out, and then I've kind of benched it for a while, and then I'm like, why did I bench it? This guy rules. So, exactly. I got distracted by the Alcremie of it all, if I'm being honest, but trying to get my green badge on Alcremie so then I can focus on my green badge on Latios, and then I guess I'll have to do Sableye at some point as well to get all the support badges. But
that's fun.
We'll cross that bridge later.
Yeah. At one point, I'll have to badge all the ghost Pokemon, I think. I think I'm going to abandon roll and adopt type. I think that is likely what I'm going to end up doing. I just made so much content around the ghost Pokemon in Pokemon Unite, I may as well keep up with it in a different facet. So at some point, we'll get that done. So in terms of what we're going to be talking about on this episode, like we said at the start, we do have a patch. We have the world's groups to talk about. If you're watching on YouTube or Twitch, you've probably already seen this, but we are going to be talking about the next patch, but I did want to talk a little bit about the impact of the first patch that we've had, because now it's been like a couple of weeks since you impact part one. And you already mentioned a Pokemon that you were playing that I think was pretty heavily nerfed. How are you feeling about Alcremie right now in the current metagame after it's like pretty intense changes? They brought that Pokemon down quite a bit with a ton of changes. So Bridget, how does the support feel in the metagame right now?
I was a bit worried. I felt like I can't even remember like who or what, but I feel like the general vibe was when people saw the patch notes was like, oh, GG's Alcremie, like it's over. I was like hesitantly playing it at first. I don't even think I played Gleam. I think I just played like Recover, like Dollops. At first. And then I feel like I was like, I don't think Alcremie's that bad. And I feel like then that was the general kind of consensus was like, oh, it's still like fine, but you kind of need to be, it wasn't just like pick, decorate, win game type situation as it was before. Now it's kind of like, oh, you can kind of like flip between the movesets a little more. So that's what I've been doing. But I will say overall, I'm still probably picking Decorate for the most part, but I really like Recover. Okay. It is awkward aiming on the Switch, for sure. But it's kind of fun. I've actually been enjoying it, and I like Sweet Scent as well.
Cool.
So I think Okami is still pretty good. I'm really excited to see it in comp.
Yeah,
like, I don't really feel like it. I guess it hasn't really been around for very many tourneys, so I'm trying to even think like grassroots ones, but I'm very interested to see if it'll come out at all. But with the state of the defenders right now, I don't even really know.
Yeah. We unfortunately didn't see it in our Electrode volleyball tournament, so didn't get to see it.
Yeah,
didn't get to see it in obviously the next peak competitive game mode that we hosted. Mm. I think we did that tournament after the last podcast. I'm trying to remember. I think we did.
It was on Thursday.
Okay, cool. So for those of you who just listened to the podcast and don't watch the YouTube channel or anything, or the Twitch channel, we had the chance to host on this channel a Electrode volleyball tournament, which was very, very fun. I think we had like 30 some teams sign up for it. It was an absolute blast. So thank you so much to everybody who showed up and participated. It was a good time. I think the game mode's still fun. It's definitely, I think, the quick mode excitement's starting to fade a little bit. But that's okay, because I'm all competitive-minded now anyways with the World Championships around the corner. I'm just excited to be playing some more of the classic ranked experience. So I'm a big fan. For those of you wondering on kind of the big mystery that's been going on after the developer letter of how Groudon will arrive on Theosky Ruins, it is still a mystery post-Pokemon Presents. We've not uncovered that information yet. So, still on Groudon watch on how they will arrive.
How will he get to the sky?
Yeah, exactly. There will be Pokemon Unite employees likely at the World Championships. I will be belligerently asking them the important questions, though. I have journalistic integrity while being on this podcast. Don't you worry, Dunkheads. We will find out.
That is our number one goal.
Exactly.
At Worlds.
Exactly.
How Groudon gets to the top of the map.
Exactly.
We'll find out.
One day. But yeah, okay. Well, let's talk about the patch that we were talking about before, U Impact Part 2, which, of course, we have to talk about the fact that it is yet again another terrible name. Okay, sorry, we got Kyle's, Kyle's overlay on there.
Thinking Kyle.
We gotta talk about U Impact Part 2. So, to get this out of the way, this patch is primarily a bug fix patch for the most part, with a few balance changes sprinkled in. Gyarados, Lapras, Dragonite, and Goodra, all the receivers of the buffs, and a few of the nerfs did swing in. For those of you who didn't make it to the pre-show on Twitch, by the way, Bridget had maybe the best line ever of, if the next patch is Wii Impact, now the U Impact becomes the best patch title ever. because it goes from a patch titled U Impact to Wii Impact, and that's hilarious. So I really do hope that happens.
That would have been cute. Mm-hmm. Next time.
Yeah. We'll put in those notes too. That's our second biggest priority when at the World Championships.
We have two priorities. Yeah. Those are both of them.
Exactly. Okay, I realized why I was on the wrong OBS source before. Okay, here we go. Update details. Latias is headed to Eos Island. It's funny, with all the spelling errors and misnames of moves and these things, I half expected that to say Latinas is headed to Eos Island in the official post, but we dodged that one, so W there. WCS event coming soon. Let's go! I think we talked about this. Yeah, I think we talked about this on the podcast previously, but that was one of the coolest things about Worlds last year. Was the jersey designs were so sick, and they had like an event pass in the game that one let you get the generic one for free and other region jerseys as well if you had the paid pass. So, cosmetics supporting the game that are esports focused. I mean, our podcast can't really ask for much more than that. We're being totally real in what we cover and what we like to bring to light for the game. So that's actually so sick. Very pumped about that. Fourth anniversary events finally begin. A whole lot of that stuff. Electro volleyball, bargain shop, you know, the classic prizes, everything's in there. And then just a whole bunch of bug fixes. Let's get into the balance changes. Dragonite, first Pokemon, yet another all-rounder, getting more defense buffs. You've heard this one before, because at this point, I think they've hit every purple background Pokemon with these same changes. Dragonite getting a bit of a boost to its physical defense, but getting a bit more of a boost. Not more of a boost, getting another boost to its special defense as well. So, just a bit more tanky of a dragon, especially in the late game. I don't hate when they make these changes, especially to the late game Pokemon like Dragonite, who one, it's pseudo, two, it's a 3-stage evolution. It just feels like that Pokemon that should be really strong near the end of the game. Any thoughts on the Dragonite change, by the way?
Not too much. I do appreciate them kind of revising these mons that have kind of gotten power crept over the years. So fair adjustment. Not super fun and exciting, but definitely needed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wish, I guess it's like the only change with these kind of things is I wish there was a fun, exciting change, you know, tailored in as well to the defense buffs, because I feel like Dragonite could use something, which would be kind of cool. I don't know, maybe like a increase to the effect of some of its boosted auto attacks or something, because I feel like that's like the unique part of Dragonite that doesn't get talked about too much, is like its three unique boosted auto attacks, and like, it feels like kind of an irrelevant part of its kit sometimes.
It does feel kind of random, I guess, it actually is like pretty unique to D-Knight. So
yeah,
that would have been cool. But all in all, I can't be too mad about this.
Fair enough. Let's move on to the next Pokemon, because these might be the most relevant changes in this patch, in my opinion. Lapras getting a buff to its boosted auto attack. HP recovery now from 3% of its max HP is going up 0.5% to 3.5% of its max HP. You might think that's a little bit. Lapras has so much HP. This is a tremendous amount. I actually do think Lapras is getting a gigantic buff in this boosted attack HP recovery increase. Parish Song is also getting a bonus, a full second cooldown on Parish Song. I think that's also another pretty phenomenal change. So to read out the game's notes on it, to further enhance Lapras' ability as a defender that absorbs enemy attacks, the healing from its boosted attack has been buffed. Additionally, allowing Parish Song to be used more frequently makes it easier to create opportunities to break the opposing team's formation. So, one, trying to give it kind of that disruption tank ability, since it doesn't have too many of those outside of maybe Bubble Beam. Allowing Parish Song to kind of achieve that same effect is really cool. And then, of course, boosted auto healing, I think, is going to be really big. What are you thinking though, Bridget?
Honestly, at first glance, I was like, okay, this is nice. I personally am more of a Water Pulse guy than like a Parish Song guy, so I'm kind of curious like the comparison now between them, but I do like, I didn't really think about how much of like an auto attacker Lapras is and like can be and kind of like should be.
Right.
So I do feel like this boosted attack is more impactful than like the single bullet point may be giving it, but it is kind of hard to tell right now because so many of the tanks have gotten like tuned up.
Right.
It's like,
that's fair.
It'll be interesting to see how it like holds up against the other guys in the meta, because it does kind of feel like Ho-Oh was doing its job, but better. Same with Goodra, honestly. So kind of bringing Ho-Oh down a bit, Lapras, Goodra up a bit in that regard. It'll be, I don't really think people are going to be running Goodra, but I really don't know. So it's nice to see that these are more of a possibility, especially going into Worlds.
Yeah, I'm interested about that too. Our Twitch chat was asking to, like, wondering if Lapras top is meta again, like the second World Championship was, where Slash iconically said Lapras as the reason that they won Worlds in both macro and micro. I posted on one of Fifi's videos. I was like, it's crazy that I gave maybe one of the best interview questions I ever gave on stage. He gave me a one-word response, but it's fine. It was an iconic moment. It's okay.
Yeah, you're in history.
It's interesting to think about Lapras filling that like more damage-based role. I doubt it, especially with some other major all-rounders being really strong, as well as the fact that Ho-Oh feels so strong right now in that role that I doubt Lapras would kind of out-contend for it. But if Ho-Oh's getting banned, maybe Lapras gets thrown in there as a Pokemon that could contend as a top laner. I'm not putting it away as an option. I really do think some teams might consider it. We'll have to see how big the impact is on this boosted auto attack. Maybe I'm just giving it way too much gas that it needs, but it does seem strong to me.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I feel like at first glance, I didn't think so, but then thinking about it, I was like, Lapras isn't in the worst place ever,
right?
And I don't know. I'm not sure. I guess Buzzwole is at large, but we'll see.
And its Unite move is sick. Like, it is a really, really strong Unite move. I mean, like, true. It's not Blastoise levels of crowd control, but it's pretty good with that big wave. So we'll see. Let's talk about Goodra, one of my favorite Pokemon. I do have a badge on this Pokemon somehow. I don't know. I was going through some stuff. Anyway, Goodra getting some defense buffs, Goodra going up in its physical defense by 20 points, but going up by 90 points in its special defense. These are both at level 15, of course, but Goodra's becoming a bit more of a mage tank, which I think is kind of cool. I like the tanks becoming a bit more specific into enemy team comps, especially now that we have draft and ranked. So, you know, like, you can see, hey, that they got a lot of special attackers, maybe a Pokemon like Lapras or Goodra or, like, some other ones that are more conditional, like Armourish or something, fit really well into this draft. So, Goodra getting a bit more stat-specific, I like. However, defense is still a higher-rated piece. So, don't mind that. Muddy Water, defense and special defense, increase upon use, 20% increase. Okay, big Muddy Water buff. We do got a big defense increase from that one. And then Power Whip, the cooldown is going from 7.5 seconds down to 7 seconds. And then the damage is getting a 12% increase. I feel like that final line is largely irrelevant. That move feels like you're getting hit with a single blade of grass. But I don't know, maybe after 12%. Yeah, exactly. Maybe after 12% increase, it'll hit more. I don't know. But yeah, Goodra, definitely going to be a bit more of a brawler tank, with that defense and spedef increase. And not to mention Muddy Water, also the move that reduces the amount of damage that our opponents are using after getting hit by Muddy Water. So yeah, Goodra, one of those Pokemon that also lives in that kind of brawl, can play a damage dealer in lane, can play a main tank. Kind of fills both roles, maybe Jack of all trades, master of none scenario sometimes, but still one of my favorite to play, so I'm pretty happy it got some positive changes.
Yeah, although I kind of understood its previous nerf that it was pub stomping the lower lobbies a bit too much, it did feel a little unfair to the goo boy, so it is very deserved in these buffs, but I'm not sure if that'll like tip the needle for Goodra for me, but I am happy for Goodra players like yourself for this.
Awesome. All right, Goodra players like myself, clock in. Let us know in the comments if you're happy about these Goodra changes. All six of us are popping off, don't worry. That being said, it is popping off in Ultra Lobbies, apparently, so maybe there are more of us. Okay, next Pokemon that might do very, very well with these changes, Gyarados getting another buff. So Battle Pass wasn't enough for the folks down at Timmy Studios. Instead, Gyarados getting a bit more of a tune-up, this time just to its max HP stat and its lower end. So we actually don't see this change too often, in which the base stats are actually getting increased. Oftentimes when we've seen these tune-ups, like the defense changes on Dragonite and a few of these changes they've been making to a lot of the all-rounders, it's only to the top end, but now base HP going up from 3100 to 3250, and then of getting that same change of 150 stat points applied to the top side. So Gyarados essentially the entire way through is getting a slight increase of HP, and Flail, the move that Magikarp has, now does 10% more damage. It'll be a little bit easier to outsecure your opponents, so potentially even steal a knockout in the early game as the Flopping Fish and get an early Evo. Yeah, I think this thing's going to be good. How you feeling about it, Bridget?
I mean, they literally just buffed Magikarp. They didn't even buff Gyarados. I mean, they did buff Gyarados, the HP stat. But yeah, I definitely didn't notice that it was the base stat HP getting buffed when they snuck this in there. So I don't really feel like Magikarp was having that bad of a time, if I'm being honest. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm knocking on wood because I'm sure when I play later, I'm going to have a Magikarp for like 5 minutes and I will like regret this. But I do feel like generally they're online by like the 8 minute mark for me, if not maybe like a little later. And I feel like getting Gyarados at that point is still like a fine power scale. Yeah. Like with this, I'm kind of like, how early does this mean you're evolving now? Because
that's the biggest
if
question.
It's a little too fast, it's not. It's going to be a stomping in the top path very quickly. But we'll see.
That's always going to be the sliding balance scale on Gyarados. Is it too early, too late? Like, is it too early to the point where it's unfun to play against, or is it too late to the point where it is just so unfun to play? Like, that is going to be the really difficult line they're going to have to walk with Gyarados. That's, like, in my opinion, it's kind of okay, though. It's a fun spot for the Pokemon to be. It's going to have times in the metagame where it's great. It's going to have times where it's not so great. This World Championships, I think it's going to be pretty great. So, I think Gyarados is going to do quite well at this Worlds. I don't even know what moveset. I genuinely feel like you can't pick a bad move on this Pokemon at the moment. Bounce, Waterfall, Aqua Tail, Dragon Breath, like, everything Gyarados has access to feels so good at the moment. So, I'm pretty excited to see this Pokemon. I think Gyarados is going to be a major impact player. Do the additional buffs need to happen? But like you said, I think it's mostly a buff to Magikarp. So, I don't know. We'll see the impact. I think the changes from last patch were the thing that pushed it over the edge. I don't think these changes were, if that makes any sense.
I agree. I actually feel like I was much more scared seeing Gyarados getting a buff again. And then when I saw it, I was like, okay. You know, they're not going, they could have went crazier. I've seen them be crazier. Mm-hmm. So
true.
I'll take this.
All right, let's move along to the next Pokemon, a nerfed Pokemon for the first time in these patch notes. And obviously this nerf was not made with my win rate in mind, as Ho-Oh has received a nerf, which I think is so incredibly fair, even if my results aren't backing it up. Secret Fire, getting a few things decreased about it. Its damage is going down by 30%. Yeesh. Okay, Secret Fire was hitting a little too hard. I mean, it's still going to have a pretty crazy stun, so don't worry about that, everybody.
True.
The attack increase it gave itself, basically buffing its attack stat, is going down by half. So from 30% attack increase down to 15% attack increase. So you're still going to want to be stacking on this Pokemon, I think, if you're playing, especially if you're in the damage roll. Any kind of percent scaling increase is always going to feel good on those base stat increases like a lot of those ones. And then the attack decrease on opponents from 50% down to 10%. So just kind of nerfing every piece of the Sacred Fire kit except the stun, all the damage-related nerfs and debuffs. Sacred Fire plus the attack decrease on opponents from 30% down to 20%. A 10% change, whereas the change on the base version of the move is only 5%. And then Fire Spin, the damage is going down by 10%. It's fine. Ho definitely needed changes. So, after the last adjustment, Ho-Oh's offensive and defensive performances exceeded expectations, creating too many situations where it was overly advantageous against other Pokemon. Therefore, the damage of its main moves and the effects that strengthen itself and weaken opponents have been nerfed to create opportunities for opponents to counter. Really glad they're nerfing this Pokemon. And the other thing I kind of want to applaud about this change, Bridget, is I think they nerfed the right aspects. I mentioned during the numbers that they didn't nerf the stunning effects, which is something that everyone's been saying for a long time is Ho-Oh didn't have access to at all after the most recent changes, Sacred Fire being added and Fire Spin having a change. And now had crowd control abilities. Ho-Oh still keeps those in every aspect that it had. It's just the damage being nerfed. I think this is the correct change. I'm really happy about it. I think Ho-Oh is still quite strong. It's always going to be tough to make this Pokemon bad with a Unite move as phenomenal as Ho-Oh's. But I really do think these were the correct changes. So, yeah, shout out. How do you feel?
Yeah, honestly, big agree. Like, the Defender doesn't need to be outputting all of the damage. Like, we're good on that. Mm-hmm. It does feel like that was, like, very much the trend for Unite in a while. We would always kind of have, like, a Defender in the top path, not wearing the XP share, doing full damage. So I kind of like that they're trying to, I guess, at least define the role a bit more. I don't feel like they tend to do that anymore with the tanks, at least. So
true.
I really, really, really like this nerf to Ho-Oh. It was way too much. I mean, going into Worlds, it probably still might be permabanned, but
yeah,
it was definitely going to be permabanned.
Yes.
At the level it was before. So, and we need to save that spot for Latios. So glad we only got one flying guy.
I feel pretty good about our report card on Latios, by the way, after we left him. One of the ones I feel stronger on, but
good. Yeah. We need to balance out the GPA.
Yeah, Latios might just be the most banned Pokemon at Worlds. That'd be crazy. It'd be crazy for it to be like a attacker. You know, like when's the last time that an attacker was the most banned Pokemon? All right, let's keep moving down though. Another nerf to Galarian Rapidash. Yeah. Listen, I think this thing dodged nerfs last patch, so the fact that it's getting them this one makes a little more sense. Dazzling Gleam is going down by 10% damage. Galarian Rapidash's high mobility allowed Dazzling Gleam to deal a level of damage that was difficult for opponents to counter. The move's damage has been slightly reduced to give opponents a better chance to fight back. You know, so you're not dead. Yeah, I mean, I still think the best part of this Pokemon's kit is Smart Strike, so Dazzling Gleam, while it was probably hitting too hard, this change makes sense. Also, you gotta remember, any of these attacks that can hit just, like, a ton of Pokemon at once are going to feel drastically stronger, and so changing those moves makes sense to me. It could still keep its like supportive kit with things like Smart Strike and its Unite, its Triangle Unite move. I don't know. I don't feel like it's losing its identity with a Dazzling Gleam nerf, other than maybe this thing moves farther away from the jungler. It wasn't even at this point. So who knows?
Honestly, actually, even more reason for me to put the light bulb on it because I'm hindering. I'm not.
Let's give this thing a third background. It started purple. They changed it to blue. Let's just change it to yellow at this point. Who cares?
I thought it was supposed to be an all-rounder. Yeah. Wait. That's crazy.
Yeah, what a time.
Yeah, orange.
Yeah, imagine that.
It's for me.
If this thing was an all-rounder, it would have like double the stats that it currently does, but...
Oh, that would be evil, actually.
Giga broken. But yeah, Galarian Rapidash getting a slight change. I still think this Pokemon's going to be relevant at the World Championships. I just think his kit's a little too versatile, and I... Gosh, do I like it.
Okay. I love her. I want to see her shine in comp really bad.
Exactly. All right, let's talk some of these bug fixes. I don't think anything too crazy. I did, in fact, feel this Garchomp change, by the way. Just saying.
Garchomp found dead in a ditch, finally.
Exactly. Mew doesn't learn Electroweb, so I'm assuming that's Electro Ball.
E-Bomb. Yeah. They just made Mew even better. Well, they fixed it. The contention... Well, I feel like the big ones are they fixed Intel Felstinger, yes. Which was really Drizzile Felstinger.
Right, yeah.
And the other thing I saw a lot of people talking about was did they... bring Slowbro Scald back to where it initially was, or did they actually buff, like, so they accidentally decreased Scald by 10%, and they're like, okay, we fixed the 10%.
Right.
And in the patch notes, they were like, oh, we buffed it 10%. So people are like, well, is it the baseline, or did you buff it? Like, is it 10 or 20%? So that'll be fun to find out.
I have to imagine it's just no change, right? Like, I feel like Skull just stays the same. But why even bring it up in the notes? Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, that was kind of... I feel like that is the chatter I've seen around Skull.
Okay.
Because it doesn't say, but I'm sure someone will run the numbers. Someone smarter than me.
Exactly. All right, patch will go live, like, late tonight, right? Is when it... as a recording. All right, well...
Yeah.
MathCord, we look forward to your update. All right, well, I think that brings us to the end of the patch notes. I think the last point of discussion we could have on it is Latios does dodge nerfs in this patch. Probably deserved them. However, I don't know. I think, like, during the event, while it's for free, like you know, I don't know. They're not going to nerf that Pokemon. I think anybody who was expecting them to nerf it were maybe a little too optimistic. So I think that change is, like, yeah. I've just expected that it wouldn't be changed. I think next patch, like, post-Worlds, I think there's a very high chance of getting nerfed. But at that point, we'll be talking about them in unison with Latios, and it'll be a totally different conversation. So who knows what actually shows up when we get to that point of the game, which will be kind of crazy. Because Latios is going to be in the game very, very soon, which is insanity. But still exciting. But any more notes on the patch other than Latios maybe should have been included?
Yeah, Latios and Suicune just getting away with... criminal charges, but hey, they're pretty important guys.
Gyarados,
I don't know. They're going to be good to have on the screen. If they make it through the bans, but unlikely. So I actually really like this world's meta. I feel like in general, I always kind of do. Maybe Mm-hmm. Zacian.
Yeah, I feel like Japan's meta was low-key the worst. But yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Just it was just the Zacian of it all. It was a weird gear. Mm-hmm. EX Mons, RIP, what a crazy time.
Despite
but...
the fame, I was kind of anti-Lapras. I was like, I'm kind of tired of seeing this Pokemon.
Two years.
Two years ago.
Mm-hmm. Slash Lapras, of course. Yeah, we'll see, but I in general am very excited, and I like this, like, okay, one final tuning after the big one. Mm-hmm. Given like almost exactly 2 weeks to prep, I think is fair.
Yeah, 2 weeks to prep, and then, of course, I'm assuming the game was like, all right, we got to get this Inteleon bug fix in before the World Championships. Let's go. This Pokemon is going to be relevant. You know, I feel like there's a few bug fixes that really needed to make their way into the game. Hopefully this patch doesn't break more things, but I'm knocking on wood every chance I get.
Oh, God.
Yeah. But all right, that'll bring us to the end of our U Impact Part 2 discussion. And now, time to get to the bulk of our episode. As the world's groups have been drawn, a good friend of the show, Spraggles, Content Cowboy, did do a drawing of the groups from their own personal studio. So it was a bummer to see the big studio production of the groups draw this time around with Wonder Chef and Spraggles. That was so fun last time, but it's okay. It was still a cool event experience to watch. There were so many people doing watch parties of it, which I think was sick. I saw your watch party was really cool. I was tuning into yours. I was tuning into Buzzer Bob's watch party. There was a lot of fun ones. Also, Pokemon Unite's Twitch account was jumping into a lot of the watch parties I saw. I was like, yo, that's really cool. So, yeah, I don't know. It was a fun experience. And I really hope that's going to just encourage the game to do more promotional material like that. You saw the Unite Esports account tweeting out about it, about like, hey, like, who's co-streaming this event? This is going to be really fun. So just more premiere events, I think, are really fun. Like more like pre-recorded, like live YouTube premieres are fun. And then like people like the directs are cool. We should have a Unite Direct. You know what I'm saying? That would be they'd be like Palmots coming to the game. End of premiere.
like a minute on emblems.
No. Hey, honestly, no one would be happier than Spraggles, the aforementioned Content Cowboy. I think he's up to like 6,000 energy rewards or something like that. Just waiting on that Nexus emblems. We'll see when they drop. But anyway, the World Championships were announced. So a couple of details about them. One, they're into 8 groups again. So there were planned to be like 32 teams attending the World Championships. Only 2 of the Chinese teams were entered into even the draw of the group stage. So apparently one of them just can't make it or something like that. I think it's the very safe assumption to be making surrounding this. So that's a bit of a bummer. So one group will have 3 teams in it. Hopefully, again, knocking on wood a bajillion times, there's no more travel or visa related issues for the teams, and we get as exciting of a competition as we hopefully can. We'll be looking to see what that looks like, obviously, during the weekend. The other piece of news that we got when Jake was talking about it during the group stage draw is that the bracket will not be getting reseeded after the conclusion of group stage. So what that means, for any of those who don't know, in the past, it's kind of been a different format every year, the World Championships, which is kind of Pokemon Unite's whole shtick. We're always shaking it up, you know, getting it spicier.
It's fun!
The format will be staying the same. I think this is probably the best format within the timetable that we can have in terms of group stage with 2 teams out of each group into a single elimination bracket. The days of 1 team out of each group into double elimination bracket are likely behind us. But I think just due to time constraints, maybe if the World Championships goes an extra day, which I think for every title, everyone would be pretty pumped about if it started on Thursday,
yes.
But that's
more
conversations for a different time. But that being said, since it is not getting reseeded, what you will likely be seeing is something similar to what will happen at an international championships, for example, where a first seed team out of a group will be playing against a second seed team out of another group. And again, a very safe and likely assumption is that those teams will be on the they won't have a two teams from the same group on the same side of the bracket. So, for example, Group A's first seed will play someone, the second seed from another group, but then the group A's second seed will play on the other side of the bracket. Maybe not opposite, but certainly not to the point where they can double eliminate each other is the most likely scenario. I can pull up of like something that we like kind of drafted up, like us and like a fan of the podcast who knows their Star GG stuff. We can kind of take a look at it briefly, but we'll probably talk about it more during the full on preview episode. So for now, I think let's just talk about the groups. Enough of me yapping. Let's bring it up on screen. Well, actually, before we even do that, Bridget, how did the co-stream go? Was it fun?
It was so fun. The Pokemon Unite channel definitely came in when I was reading tarot cards for my chat.
Let's go.
I was like, oh my God, is that real? And I clicked on it and I was like, oh, they are real. But it was really fun, actually. I loved like getting to live react to like the groups getting like, I don't know, like built out in front of me. It was pretty fun to like watch it unravel before my eyes. So I had a lot of fun. I would definitely do it again. I hope they do something like this in the future.
Yeah. Oh, I think it's too much of a hit for them to put it down. So I definitely think we'll be going on to it. The Pokemon Unite Twitch channel is all about my back pain.
I was interviewing Smim about
that's
his
funny.
Medical situation.
Very, very funny. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, these are the groups, everybody. I think if I bring this up. Oh, nice. It actually looks pretty good. I'm just going to make sure our logo goes away for a second so we can take a look at the World Championships group stages. So we have Group A. For audio listeners, I don't think I'm going to read them all in a row, but we could talk about just kind of group by group, shall we, Bridget?
Yeah, perfect.
And in traditional Overdunk fashion, we've done this every year except last year. I don't think we did it, but every other year, every time we look at the groups, we give the groups a name. Obviously, we got to give one of the groups the title Group of Death, but other than that, we have seven other titles that we have to give the Group of Blank to. So let's begin with Group A. There will be Splash from Oceania, Orange Juicers from North America, Stamina Esports from Latin America North, and Gen 5 from EU. Couple interesting things going on in this group. Obviously, the only OC team participating in the tournament or is going to be in this group. Is OJ going to be our regional winners hanging out here? And another thing is a bit of a bummer, but has to be said, is Gen 5 will be playing without Snow in this tournament and instead playing with their substitutes. So a bit of a nerf to Gen 5, but that still is a pretty strong team. So how are you feeling about Group A, Bridget?
I am definitely excited for Group A. Obviously, I just feel like Megu and Yutao can't catch a break, man. Gen 5, I just feel like something always happens with their group or with their situation for Worlds. I just feel like they've always had a tough go the past couple years. So I am pretty bummed because I feel like if they had their full roster for this group, it would be a bit more interesting and exciting, but I feel, truly don't know how they're going to perform, but obviously Snow is an amazing player, and I think the absence will be felt, unfortunately, but big Stamina fan, big OJ fan. Splash, I'm admittedly more unfamiliar with, since I feel like the OC teams and players I've seen, at least from like NAIC and from like past Worlds, I'm just not as familiar with the rosters, the players on this team, as I am with other OC players and teams. So it'll be interesting, but I do feel like I am leading certain ways.
I think I'm right there with you. I do think Splash is going to be a fun team to watch. I think they're going to have quite a few fans, both at the venue and watching in. Obviously, the only team from the region is still pretty hype. Let's get into predictions here, Bridget. Who are you predicting to make it out of the group?
So, probably not super shocking based off of my initial analysis, but are we doing first and second, or are we just doing who we think will make it out?
Let's do first and second. Let's do first and second.
I shouldn't even ask. I don't know why I asked. I wasn't prepared to do that. But I'm gonna ride pretty hard for OJ, I think, in this group. I am gonna rank OJ as first, and okay. I'm gonna put Stamina as number two, because okay. I do really like Patchy and Reggie and the gang.
All right, well, I am going to be agreeing with you. So I'm going to put Orange Juicers at one and we'll put Stamina at two. We'll be making these kind of collectively, I think. You and I will have to come to a consensus on each of these groups.
Well, there's no dupe stack, so that'll be easy.
He's not even here to defend himself. That's crazy. But that's all right. Yeah. OJ, yeah, looking really good in this group, in my opinion. I think they're not upset about this one at all. One, they got some good opponents, some rivals in there, but also Peru's not in their group. So I think OJ's feeling pretty good.
When I was streaming the watch party, almost immediately after, Flareon's is in my chat for the first time ever and said, "No, Peru, we won." Like, bro.
First time Shatter saying, "No, Peru, we won" is awesome.
I was like, oh my gosh. He's so
love
happy.
Flareon's. That's
the,
so funny.
The team, the mental is up based on that alone. Mm-hmm.
Mental's up, which is good. Okay, so, man, there's a part of me that does want to put Gen 5 as the second seed of this group. I'm not going to lie. I know they have a sub. However, I couldn't exactly tell you. I couldn't exactly tell you why, but I'm a little EU-pilled this tournament. Like, I don't know why. And this might be the first. It's not the first World Championship. It's every single time. Listen, Toon Slim has an effect on me in some ways that I like. For some reason, it's just like, maybe. But yeah, I don't know. I think this is going to be these two making it out of the group. Bridget, I know you had labbed some group names. Were you thinking anything specifically for group A group of something, or just a title?
Yeah, I deemed this group a home court advantage. Oh, obviously, I know we're not in LATAM North, but they're like the closest other region close to us, so that was what I like that.
Okay,
relegated them to
group of home court will be what we are going to call that. I like that a lot. Okay, let me dash Mala.
Nice, good, great. Look at the Photoshop live.
Yeah, we're trying our best is what we're doing. All right, let's move on to Group B. I feel like that's kind of most of the storylines with Group A, right? Splash, definitely the outside one looking in. I don't think a lot of people are going to predict them. Not saying they're not a good team. They definitely could be an upset, but that's what it would be if the Splash wins. They would be a huge upset. And then Gen 5 just having to deal with a really tough situation, I think, is going to make a lot of people's choices, Orange Juicers and Stamina. So,
for sure.
Let's move it into Group B. This is going to be Peru Unite, Team EX from Korea, Revelation from NA, and Onyx from APAC West. This is an interesting group. I know a lot of people were talking a lot about this being a crazy group, and Group E being a crazy group, and Group G being a crazy group, but Group B is going to be the first one we're talking about. But you kind of had your thoughts first on the last group, so I'll jump in on this one.
Do it.
Being honest with you, this is a really puzzling one for me. One, I genuinely consider Peru Unite to be a contender for top... I could be a champion in this tournament. I consider them to be, if S tier, I think, are like championship contenders, I think they are at minimum high A tier, potentially in that S. I think Peru is very, very good. I watched some of your VOD review on the Korean teams. I come to the same conclusion with Team EX. I think the World Championships is going to be tough for that team. As much as I think people have underrated Korea last year, I think this year's a bit of a different story. Revelation and Onyx, I both think, are fantastic teams. Onyx has leveled up a ton coming into this year, just a different roster than they had last year, and I think this is a very strong one. I can try to pull it up on Google right now quick while we're doing this, because that probably will add some context, right? So I may as well
pull
that up. But I don't know. I know they were only the runner-up, but they... to me, they do seem pretty good. Maybe not as good as Onyx, but Onyx also been the strange one. So I like this year. So I'm not too sure about that. But here's Onyx team: Dragods, Restore, LR, FG Inksies, and Kane.
It's like three of the same players from last year.
Correct. Yeah, so, just a couple of changes on that team.
Yeah. So for the most part, I didn't do every single group, but I did it for most of the ones that had qualified last year. I did kind of compare and see how many, if any, players changed. And I know Cake Lock as well had, like, I think two players different. So I feel like at most they really had, like, one or two people switch out. So for the most part, if you see a name. I didn't check Onik, but I'm pretty sure.
I think they had like the players that Cake Lock used to have were now on Onik, kind of thing. Like there was an exchange there. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I should check for that. But I mean, all top level players. And it would be kind of cool to see an Onik, like, I don't know, victory storyline this time around, because last year their like claim to fame was like, oh, the only Apex team that didn't day two. Like whereas if like the like almost every Western region didn't freaking day two.
Right.
So
right.
you know, not to say it's extremely difficult to get to this stage in the first place, but it would be a really cool like arc for them to see them get to day two this time around.
True. Okay, well, I'm not going to lie. Looking at the results and looking at the Liquipedia and stuff, I think I've already kind of convinced myself away from Onik, if I'm being honest.
I hadn't watched them at all this year, so I was looking to you for that one.
I was impressed by them, but I'm more impressed by the accomplishments of Peru Unite historically and Revelation this year. I think a second place at NEIC is a huge run for this team, and I mean, what a time to like spike as a team, right? Like Revelation, I think, has got a ton of momentum. I think they're really good. Like, so I think it is going to be Peru and Revelation. Are you in agreement with that, or are you throwing Team EX or Onik into the mix?
It feels wrong to like not pick a Korea team to day two. So I just, my thing with this group, I would be in agreement to go with Revelation because I'm not sure how Team EX is going to do in like a LAN situation.
Okay.
I feel like Revelation like kind of proved at NAIC they can handle the pressures of a LAN event as a team, and then obviously mental depending, they can, I think, replicate that kind of performance at Worlds. So whereas EX, I'm less sure of their LAN performance. And they weren't like, dude, I don't know how they secured any of those freaking rank clauses in Korea qualifiers. I really, I mean, I guess Blaziken, like sometimes the answer is just Blaziken, but oh my gosh. So if they're able to do that on LAN, they are definitely day doing, but it's too big of a question for me, whereas Rev has proved it, so I can be in agreement with you.
Okay. There's also, I don't know. I've heard rumors about Revelation's roster changing too. I don't know how true or accurate those are. And that's like the only thing that would make me hover over Team EX instead. But I think we'll put the two on Revelation still. I'm pretty high on this team.
It took a game off LG. That's like kind of enough. And like a final, a LAN finals. Yeah, like that's pretty good.
Agreed. Okay. So do you have a working title for Group B?
Yes.
Ooh,
so mine was best Lanimal wins. Group of Lanimals.
Group of Lanimals is great. I love Group of Lanimals.
Yeah, I really do. Because I feel like, I don't know, Rev had like the amazing NAIC LAN, Peru obviously coming from EUIC fame of last year, and also just like consistent LAN team performer. So
no, I think that is a great title. Well done. Well done. My favorite of yours so far.
Wow. Thank you so much.
This is a good one. I heard this is the flip group. Well, Team EX is in this one.
we can change it to flip, right?
Yeah, and replicate. We'll see what you coach your team to do. Okay, so Group C. So we got Cake Lock in this group, Talon in this group. So, wow, the East versus West APAC battle is always wild to watch. Komai Esport in this group. And then Last Dance from Korea, who, again, we referenced your watch party or the VOD review of this region a couple times. I think Last Dance looked pretty good.
I thought they were winning. winning. I thought they were winning the whole tournament. I didn't know they won when I was watching it.
Yeah, Rayquaza was a bit of a hindrance towards this team, to be fair. But geez, I mean, I do think this team could go pretty far. I believe in Last Dance. Let's pull up their roster here. Screen.
Kia Chu, my goat. He was pretty fun to watch.
Okay, how am I missing? Here we go.
Is there, and their winners finals, they were getting target banned for Azu, but then they let them play Azu and they beat them. But Pichu is, I guess, Demon Azu.
Okay, Demon Azu. I love it. All right. Well, personally, I think Last Dance is the team to be watching out for. We'll see. But I don't know if that matters too much. Let's talk about the group itself. What are your opinions? What are your predictions coming out of Group C?
This is also a hard one.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Because I really, at first glance, you're really like Cake and Talon, you know?
Right, yeah.
I feel like Cakelock was so not on anyone's radar whatsoever mm-hmm. last year. And they kind of like tore it up and definitely exceeded my expectations a lot. I know it's not the exact same roster, but I'm pretty sure we have three of the five from last year. And right. I know they were playing with a sub last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true.
So not sure about their situation this year necessarily, but man, if they have their full five there and they got like, I think it was like seventh or so with like a sub last year, it's like, I don't know. I am kind of like pretty high on Cakelock, and I just never know how to feel about Talon. I feel like I should like vouch for Talon more than I do sometimes.
I've vouched for them pretty hard this year. I think this might be a vessel talent. Hey, that's me with LATAM every year. So yeah, don't worry. It happens to all of us. But I'm leaning pretty hard towards talent. So I think we should give them the first spot. In my opinion,
I can be convinced of that. I know they have a really good like record this year. So, and they are the same five. They've been the same five. I trust them.
Now the question becomes: Cakelock, Kumai, or Last Dance? I really do think this is a tricky one. While I think Cakelock is the more accomplished team, it's always so tough with these APAC qualifiers being so weird and these like really small regional qualifiers to be like the determining factors. So that like throws me for a loop. Kumai to get third in their region though, so it feels hard to predict them to make it out of this group. So for me, it's between Cakelock and Last Dance, and I'm not gonna lie, I'm feeling Last Dance. I don't know about you.
I'm not gonna lie, I did really enjoy watching EX and Last Dance like quite a bit. Didn't really have to sell me on them too much. That Repic kid on Last Dance was playing so much Dodrio and only playing Drill Peck. I don't think I saw him pick Tri-Attack one time.
Oh, you know what? I'm calling them the group of birds then. This is the group of birds.
Yeah. Yes.
They are defined by their birds. For anybody who needs context for that, you will have to watch the podcast. So the group of birds.
Yes.
Group C is the group of birds. Hey, the little got talent in there, so you can't fight it. All right.
No, that's perfect. That's actually so perfect.
So true. Okay, Group D. Nouns Esports, PaperX, Version 1, and Nova. Are we gonna be up? Like, it feels like this is a pretty easy two teams locked in my opinion.
Zoinks, I didn't remember my reaction to when V1 got pulled in this group until Zoinks picked me and was like, Your reaction is so funny. Like, what did I even do? You're like, oh, you just like dropped the F-bomb immediately. Like, you're just so mad. I'm like, because I knew, like, I'm already rooting big for Nouns and PaperX. So seeing V1 in there, I was like, God, no.
Yeah, but it's tricky.
Yeah, I really love the V1 team. I think they're so fun, and I'm excited to see them get to play at Worlds. But
You and I hung out with their team for a long time at NAIC.
Yes.
We were vibing the version one for sure. So.
Oh, remember when we asked if Toon would scrim them?
And he said once.
Yeah, now they're in groups together.
Now they're not. Oh, no.
Oh, we manifested it, kind of.
Kind of.
Unfortunate for me, but agree that paper X and nouns have the history. There's a non-zero chance V1 turns up. I feel like fresh blood energy, you just can never be fully counted out.
Sure.
But there's no way I can say nouns or paper X isn't Day-toing.
Mm-hmm.
It's against like my moral code. So
I think both those teams are, in my opinion, I think both nouns and paper X are top 8 teams. And they make it pretty far. I think Paper X has had a tough performance at ACL. But I don't know. Just those players are just very good at this game. And I want to believe that they're going to have like a tournament to prove it. You know what I mean? So
I know. I literally picked them to win. Once we got to day two and like we got the bracket, I did a day two like bracket prediction. I was like, I'm all in on MYS. Like, let's go. And then they're like knocked out immediately.
No.
I'm like, no, I cursed them. So
well, they got a sponsor this year, so let's go.
They gotta lock in. This time they'll definitely lock in.
Yeah. Are you of the opinion nouns first, paper X second? That's kind of where I'm leaning. I don't know about how about you though.
That's fine.
I mean, obviously, I think the match between Nouns and Paper X will be the determining factor of this group to see placement. But, and I think in that one, I think Nouns can win it. Paper X, obviously, are pretty notorious for their, like, really wacky comps, like the five defender and all of that kind of crazy stuff. I think Nouns can beat crazy. In fact, there are a few teams I would rather fight with crazy than Nouns. They'll fight fire with fire with you, and then I think it gets terrifying. So
actually, I would agree with you. I feel like Nouns does good into like chaos.
Yeah, I mean, they beat Hardly Nowhere with Jungle Comfey and NAIC. So literally,
that was crazy. They're lucky they got away with murder in those games.
Yeah, that is true.
It's fine. I'll let it slide.
Did you have a title for this one?
I believe for this one, I just called it Org Diff.
Org Diff. Okay, I'm gonna say,
which isn't too fun, but
I'm gonna say group of org. Which is funny because I think Nova is a pretty gigantic organization in China. Listen, that region is gonna have to have.
How am I supposed to know that?
This region is gonna have to have a crazy performance to impress me after what happened at. The ACL,
was pretty sad.
Not good for China stocks, tell you that much.
Yeah, it made me sad for sure.
Mm-hmm. All right, Group E, which genuinely might be the craziest group out of this draw. In terms of, and I think it was Pure who said this on Twitter when he and I were talking back and forth, is one of the craziest groups in terms of parity. So a lot of these teams just feel like right around the same strength. SAUL Esports, Santos Laguna, QT Dig from Japan, and You Need Coaching, aka Team Unk from NA. This is a tough group to predict. Now, before we even get to your thoughts on the bridge, I want to just say for me, I have been shocked by the amount of people just not predicting You Need Coaching out of this group. I am not going to lie. I think Unk clears this group. I think Unk is easy first for me. I'm not going to lie.
If Lutano doesn't get a Switch 2, it's cooked. I don't know if he can be running the Switch 1 technology at Worlds.
Yeah, no, agreed.
But I mean, this is, I think, the hardest to predict. I could truly see like any combo of these teams making it out, to be honest. I do think you are the biggest Unk supporter.
I just think people fell off when they didn't go to NAIC. You know, they didn't go to NAIC.
We haven't seen them in a while.
And people forgot. People be forgetting. And I think that's going to come back to bite them.
I do be forgetting, but it's hard to know how locked in they are. Because I feel like the assumption is like, oh, this was kind of like a last minute team. Like, obviously they're all great players, but it's hard to like, are they going to be able to lock? Like, is everything going to be kumbaya going into this? How locked in is everyone? A lot of these other teams have been playing, you know, consistently every single month for the longest season we've ever had. Like, I'm not saying that UNC is not at the same level. It's just hard when so many other teams are like proving their dedication, whereas UNC is like, I don't know what they're up to. I really don't.
What are they doing over there? Yeah, it's a good question.
What are they doing? Obviously, all very experienced players. I do agree with you. Don't sleep, but it's hard to evaluate for me.
A few people in our Twitch chat talking about how unit coaching needs to win early or they just don't win, which is kind of a funny and interesting point. I don't know exactly where we're pulling that from, but hey, I'll believe the vibes. You know, I've made predictions of vibes.
You could say anything in this chat and I would believe you.
Yeah, maybe. That's true. Yeah, genuinely. Go ahead.
License
to lie in our Twitch chat. Go ahead. Okay, I'm pretty hard on unique coaching. My second choice is totally up in the air. Like, it's so difficult. My heart pick is Santos Laguna. I think they are a great team. However, they have some vets on that squad, but the majority is a lot of rookies on that team. So I tend to kind of go with a different option. So then my heart moves towards SAUL. But it's hard to ignore a Japanese team right now, you know? That region is so phenomenal. So I'm kind of split between SAUL and QT Dick, but I've been yapping a lot about this group. So where are you at in terms of actual predictions?
I'm honestly like, I feel like out of all the Japanese teams, I'm the least familiar with QT Dick, or like, they didn't make as big of an impression on me, obviously, as the other Japanese teams did, because I got to see like more of them with the league stuff, like kind of going back to my same like UNC problem. I just haven't seen as much from them because I don't follow Japan as closely in that way. So knowing that I'm probably picking all three of the other Japanese teams to progress, I can sacrifice this one, IMO. And like, pure heart pick, I want India today too. Okay. So bad. Like, so insanely bad.
Okay. Then this is what I'm doing. We're doing this. And we're making it the group of hearts.
Aww. I was almost going to call it the group of dupe snacks. Because he likes India and NA.
The group of snacks. In honor of Dupe Snacks, this is the group of snacks.
Yeah, I agree. I think so. Those are like his boys.
Right. But listen, at the end of the day, we are picking based off vibes in this group in a few different ways, right? Like, this is such a close group. It's so difficult to see. And also, it looks like I drew one and two spots. So this is...
I was just about to say, your ones and twos are starting to look very similar.
Okay, yeah. I don't like this at all.
Okay, that's good.
Is that good? Okay, great.
Yeah, no,
you're good. So, this is difficult. At some point, we just got to make a decision, and I think that's where we end up. And so, we are picking with our hearts a little bit, but just kind of like the teams that I think will be solid. My differentiator between SAUL, and honestly, both of these other teams that we don't have picked out of the group, is experience. Like, SAUL, as a team, have played on major stages before, traveled to tournaments and everything like that. Well, as Santos Laguna has a couple players like that. QT Dig might have a player. I mean, Japan regionals is certainly a lot of experience, but still, it's world travel. It's a little bit different. So I'm going with that group. And don't worry, I think I'll be picking Japan at a couple other spots. So
trust me, we will be getting to them.
Group F. Okay, in terms of crazy, this group, maybe not reaching those same heights.
I know. Like, I was thinking when doing this, like, is Group of Death, like...
Group of Massacre in Group of
Death?
Well, not... I don't think it'll be that bad against Infamous. Listen, I actually do think Infamous is a pretty good team. I think Infamous... genuine contender for maybe the worst draw.
Yeah. Oh, them and Aegis, probably, IMO.
Yeah, yeah. That's a bad one, too.
Like, actually got...
like, that like is a rough draw.
Yeah, yeah. No, that is cursed.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's tough. Group F, I mean... listen, I think Infamous is a strong team. They push Peru to the brink all year long. They've taken tournaments off of them. It's impressive. I like a couple of those players. We've interacted on socials a few times. I think they're great. I think they got a really tough RNG group draw this time around. And I think Luminosity Gaming and Reject are going to be making it out of this group in that order. Are you in agreement? Are you off from what I'm saying?
What? Yeah, 100%. Yeah. I just can't. But yeah, there's no way I'm ever betting against the two teams I'm looking at in the top.
Yeah, I'm going to say group of tough draw. It's going to be where I go with this one. Did you have another title for a working title for group F?
Mine was World Champ Diff.
Ah, okay. Well, we kind of are achieving the same thing, to tell you the truth.
Yes, yes. No, it is very much.
All right. Moving on to Group G. We only have two more groups left, and Group G, in my I tweeted about this a couple times, in my opinion, is the craziest group by far. We have High Five, formerly Alter Ego, so runner-ups of the Asia Champions League. Oh, hey, speaking of that, we have Insomnia from Japan, the champions of the Asia Champions League. So the run back between these two teams, if we don't see that game on main stage, it is a crime against all of humanity. Hoenn Plaga from Latin America North will be on this, will be in this group as well. Whew, tough look for them, but still a solid, solid team. And then Curiosto Jake will also be in this group from Brazil. Reminder, this is formerly playing under the banner 2Z Esports. So a very, very, very good team from Brazil. So we have runner-ups from LAIC and the ACL finalists. What a freaking stacked group. And Hoenn Plaga has won tournaments in Latin America North, too, by the way. So, you know, don't put it past them. I think they also did pretty well in... they were one of the best performing Latin American teams at LAIC, were they not? I remember interviewing Texas on stage a couple of times about it, I think. So, yeah, I think it seems doing really well. This, and I'm going to go to the title before we do the numbers. I think this is my group of death, in my opinion.
Yeah, I was just thinking that, like, this is tough.
Yeah. Well, Hoenn couldn't have gotten second. I think they got top four at LAIC. Because obviously, Curiosto Jake got second. But yeah. But sorry, yes. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. You were saying...
No, I totally agree. Like, these team, like, Hoenn and Krios are, like, going against some actual monsters. Uh-huh. So, I think this is definitely, like, a go. They have to be going big or going home. Uh-huh. Like, it is going to be nasty.
Okay. Oh, Celestial's saying that Plaga's roster's changed a little bit. So, okay, well... Maybe it won't be so much of a blender anymore, but I'm sticking with my title. But okay, it sounds like you were.
We already have the title.
Sounds like you were also aligned though with High Five Insomnia being the two out of the group.
Yes. Okay. And I love Ice, big High Five fan, but uh-huh. I gotta go with Insomnia to win this group.
Oh no, Bridget, I think we're disagreeing for the first time, maybe in our draw show predictions. I think it's High Five out of this group first over Insomnia. I'm not gonna lie. This is gonna be tricky. Okay, here's what we'll do. We won't put a one and a two for this group. We're just gonna do this. Thoughts?
I agree.
Okay.
I agree.
That's where we're putting it. I think it's such a toss-up between these two teams. I know Insomnia's beat them. They have the track record. But that's a long time ago, you know? High Five's got that.
Yeah. Hey, they buffed. Garrus is up. Rocky helmet.
That's true.
Will be equipped.
But who's better for that? I think both these teams got good Gyarados teams, right? We'll see. We'll see. I don't know. Smim's saying High Five's winning the whole tournament. Yeah,
I think he thinks Ice is funny. Just because he can speak English.
What a
sellout
from Smim. What a sellout. Okay.
I need Obi-Wan or a farming in this tournament for as long as possible.
Yeah. Hey, if Obi-Wan plays Phalanx because of my aforementioned article, I'll lose my mind. So I'll be pumped. Okay. Our final group, Group H, Aegis Flames, Onic Rise, and Zeta Division. Ooh, yeah, I think you're right. Aegis Flames, a contender for one of the worst draws out of any group.
Evil, I think.
Yeah, I mean, these three team groups are so difficult because, I mean, you can't lose a game. And your map score probably matters even more in these kind of matchups too, right? So you likely can't even... If you go 2-1, you're still scared. Because what if you lose the next one and your map differential's not great? So yeah, this is going to be a very tight one, but I think with what we've said before, you and I are both aligned, Onic Rise and Zeta Division out of this group, yeah?
Definitely.
Okay, and then are you Zeta Division first or Onic Rise first? Technically, Onic outperformed them at the last World Championships, but again, another one of those teams with some roster changes, and Onic Rise had a pretty tough ACL.
Definitely, yeah, which makes me hesitant to put them above Zeta. I just feel like a lot of people rate Zeta really high going into Worlds. Like, I feel like people view them as like the number one Japan seed more than Reject.
Yeah,
so
a little bit.
I would be comfortable with Zeta taking it.
Sounds good. And we have Onic Rise there at 2. I'm not upset about that. I do think both these teams could go on extremely deep runs. Honestly, they might be thankful that they're playing each other in groups. I don't have to worry about them playing against each other in bracket until much, much later. You know what I mean? They're like, all right, well, we get one of our tough opponents. I feel LG and Reject probably feel the same. It's like, okay, nice. Yeah. We can play one of our toughest opponents, and then we won't have to worry about them. They'll put them on the other side of the bracket, and we can play against the other top teams. So, I think, yeah.
Well, what's funny about Zeta and Onic is that they were in a group of three with each other last year.
Oh, that's right!
As well!
Okay.
Which
group
is
of throwback?
Yeah, I called this the run back.
Oh, yes. Group of throwback.
Cake and Talon were also in the same group last year as well, so they'll get the repeat.
Oh, that's funny.
Fun facts. Yeah, there you go, guys.
We love fun facts. Our podcast is built on fun facts.
Useless information, I can say here.
Yeah, chat saying Zeta Division, best team along with LG. Yeah, it's a good contender. I think we'll probably save a lot of that discussion for our full-on Worlds prep episode that we'll be doing next week about, like, who we think are the big contenders, maybe tier-listing the teams a little bit, what matchups we're really hoping for, all that kind of stuff. But in terms of just talking about groups, I think this is what we're looking at right now. For those of you who've been listening to this whole thing in audio, let me recap for a little bit. Group A, we titled the Group of Home Court, and there'll be Orange Juicers first and Stamina Esports second. These are our predictions, by the way, not me manifesting. Group B, we said the Group of Lanimals, with Peru Unite qualifying first place out of the group, with Team Revelation from NA qualifying second. Group C, we said the Group of Birds. Any knowers out there, let us know. With Talon qualifying first out of the group, and Last Dance from Korea qualifying second. Group D, we called the Group of Org, with Nouns Esports first and Paper X second. Group E, the Group of Snacks, our third co-host, with You Need Coaching qualifying first. Thank you for allowing me to do that. Felt like Ben S-A-U-L everyone second.
That one. That's yeah. Okay.
It's all right. I like to think I'm a good preacher. Group F, the group of tough draw. Luminosity first, Reject second. You could throw in a lot of other teams into the rest of that group, but I'd still say it was those two teams qualifying.
Yeah.
Group G, we gave the title of Group of Death with High Five and Insomnia at the point where we could not decide between the two of us who would be going first, who would be going second. And then Group H, the group of throwback, as Onic Rise and Zeta Division will be having a very familiar face-off in a three-team group. And that's been your recap. Brought to you by Zoinks of Overdunk.
Okay, I was here too.
Not for the recap.
I was nodding my head and making inflections.
Of course. Yeah, you're right. Brought to you by your Overdunk hosts, I will say. Yes. I will rephrase. Well, yeah, that was a really fun episode, everybody. I really like the groups are just so exciting. I think I always get excited for the World Championships leading up to the event. Obviously, Pokemon does a pretty good job of slow rolling their promotionals, right? Like, we just finally got looks at merch, and then the branding, and we got the jerseys data mined, and stuff like that, like, slowly pieces. But the world, like, the world groups is, like, a whole nother level of hype injection. It's like, oh, shit's happening. Okay, these are the teams that are going to be facing off, so that is always another level of excitement. The next one I'm really excited for is I hope they drop the World's album pretty soon. They've already teased it a bunch, and I think it looks so good. I like a few of the artists on it. I don't know if any of you have dabbled into like song parody or Pokemon parody TikTok, but there's a guy, I forget his name. The first name starts with a C, I forget his name. He's on three of the World's tracks this year. He's like a hip-hop artist who does like some Pokemon-themed music, and he wrote a song called Team Yell, the like bad guy team from Gen 8, like Galar, and it goes so unbelievably hard. It's like, basically, he took the scene where, forget Marnie's older brother's name, Pierce? One of the two. Pierce. I think, yeah, right? The gym leader for Spikemouth Gym. For those of you who are just Unite fans, you're getting a lot of random Pokemon knowledge dropped on you right now. But he does like a concert performance, because Pokemon games have no voice acting. It's just like music. There's no like concert behind it.
Yeah, that was hard to watch.
Yeah. Yeah, but he put lyrics and made a song with, and then like kind of used that in-game moment as like a bit of the music video. Anyway, if you want to just look it up, look up Team Yell on YouTube or on TikTok, and it is very, very good. It's pretty fun. So anyway, they're on a few tracks. Nate Wants the Battle, iconic like music parody artist, is on another one of the tracks. And if they're in the same order as they were on last year's album, I think that means he's on the Unite song, but I don't know. I'm doing a whole lot of
so hard.
Maybe manifesting, maybe just looking into it way too deep. And then speaking of Nate Wants the Battle, a very cool member of the community and who's worked on a lot of Pokemon events that you've seen in the past is Anna Prossner, like host of.
Yes.
She is on the album as well, doing vocals on at least one track, potentially two. So that is so cool. I can't wait. Please give us the album soon. Last year, I listened to the white one so much, both before and after the World Championships. Maybe too much. It was certainly in my Spotify most listened to the end. So yeah, I'm pretty excited about it. So make sure to tune into that. And everybody, make sure to tune into next week's episode. Bridget, anything to close out, plug, anything like that at the end of the episode here?
I don't think so. Okay. Yeah, just tune in next week for more Worlds discussion. I'm super excited. Yeah, getting the groups really does make it like real. I can like see it all happening now. I'm like buzzing. So very excited.
Me too. Okay, well, everybody, like I said, just make sure to tune in very soon. Also, I think there's some exciting news coming out about just like the Unite broadcast stuff too, which will be really fun. And guys, Arena Unite on Sunday for Worlds. It's going to be so hype. I just can't wait. It's going to be awesome. All right, everybody, if you watched us this far, please let us know what you think of the group stage draw show in the YouTube comments. But other than that, we'll see you all next week for the next week of Overdunk, everybody. Have a good week and take it easy, Dunkheads. Bye-bye.